You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to Bumper Day of Racing, it's fair to say. We've got three afternoon meetings at Ayr, Chelmsford and Southall. Then in the evening we're at Windsor and Wolverhampton. There's two Irish cards as well from Nace and Tramore. So plenty to enjoy on Racing Radio in the company of Natalie Carey, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott. But ahead of all the action, joining myself, Sam Norris, to look ahead to four races on Monday. I'm very pleased to welcome back Will Smith. Hello, Will.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
I'm very good.
I know you were back in the studio yesterday, but this is the first podcast since you've been back from your travels.
That's it. Yep. You're easing me in gently, which is good.
Yeah, and you look incredibly well for your travels
you.
As well, Will.
Yeah, the tan's slowly falling off in this weather, but I've had 6 months of sunshine and global gallivanting, but I'm back now ready for the day job, the thing... things that pay the bills.
Yeah, indeed. And I must say, you've done very well to pretty much most of the time get your nap in every day. There's people who live down the road that can't get their nap in every day.
Yeah, well, that's me being, I'm fairly religious with things like that. I'm a stickler for if I sign up to something, then I've got to try and carry it on. But there were occasions where actually I noted if I forgot one, the substitute that I might have had... some of them were actually quite big price winners, so
yeah.
I kind of moved along on a wave of someone else's luck.
Yeah, fair enough. And of course it's been superb racing lately. Fantastic 2 days at Sandown. We obviously had the flat action with the Derby trial on Friday and Saturday, brought a curtain down on what's been a really tremendous national hunt season. We had the extra adage of the trainer's title going down to the final day. Paul Nicholls ended up coming out on top in that particular battle, beating Willie Mullins. And both men, to be fair, put up a real sporting show on the final day. Plenty of runners from both sides, albeit once the title was decided, Mullins swiftly had them back on the boat for Punchestown next week.
Yeah, and incurred the wrath of the stewards with a £1,000 fine for withdrawing Vroom Vroom Mag, which I'm sure will have hit his pocket immensely.
If she bolts up at Punchestown, I'm sure she'll pay her way. Eventually.
I mean, all the way along, it was clear that she was over there because he was chasing the trainer's title, and it was obvious that was the only reason she was there. So once that was gone, and he was perfectly upfront and honest about it as well, to his credit, you know, he didn't sort of say, "Oh, the ground's dried out, we're going to pull her out," or anything, which he could have easily got away with and wouldn't have incurred a fine or anything. He was completely honest, and you know, all credit to him for that. It's a shame the stewards didn't see it that way, but I guess they've got to adhere to the letter of the law, really. Otherwise, it'd be farcical. But no, what a fantastic battle though it was between the two. Sort of reminiscent in some respects to when Paul Nicholls wrestled it off Martin Pike all those years ago. And I think this was slightly more amicably fought out. That one a few years ago got a little bit. There was a bit of a needle involved, wasn't there, between the two? Because they're both intensely competitive characters, aren't they? And as is Willie Mullins as well. But you sensed there was a bit more, you know, friendliness and mutual respect to this this particular battle. And the way that Nicholls pulled back in front at Ayr was astonishing, because everyone thought once Aintree had gone, Willie Mullins was away and gone, and that would be that. But Paul Nicholls managed to bag the Scottish National winner amongst two or three other winners on that card. And then obviously he had a good day on Saturday with a number of sort of well-placed runners, which ensured that he managed to stay ahead. So
yeah, absolutely. We also saw Richard Johnson crowned champion jockey. That matter had been decided for a while, but it was excellent to see him finally stop being the bridesmaid in a way. 16-time runner-up, and I was saying this to Rory on the podcast yesterday. everyone in the game has got nothing but positive words to say about Richard Johnson. You'd have to travel far and wide to find someone that wasn't happy about it.
Well, I don't think there is anyone, really. Apart from maybe AP McCoy. No, but in all, I think he...
He's happier than anyone.
Well, yeah, he's happy because he's not doing it anymore. And he's probably incredibly glad, as is everyone else, that the year after he retires, the person that steps up into that mantle was Richard Johnson, his close rival for so many years, but incredibly close friend as well. So it was the way it should be this year. I mean, Richard Johnson was incredibly proactive, incredibly driven with going out and getting as many rides as he could and getting on, you know, as many winners as he could. And he was helped as well by, I think, the general wave of goodwill and hope that he was going to be the one at the end of the season. So I think a lot of owners and trainers, you know, if they had a horse fancied and they needed a spare jockey or something, then Richard Johnson was always the man that seemed to pick them up. He'd go up to Perth and Gordon Elliott would give him some.
Yeah.
You know, go down to the West Country and if there was a spare ride to be had in a lowly handicap there, he you know, tended to be on them. So and of course his usual fare with Tim Vaughan and Philip Hobbs, of course, mainly as well, managed to make sure that the battle was done and dusted really with a couple of months to go. But obviously the formalities had to be outplayed, and he stayed injury free as well, which is of course incredibly important to that particular thing. You'd have been devastated if he had got halfway through and then broke a leg or something, and someone like Aidan Coleman or Tom Scudamore, you know, managed to pip them. All credit, you know, if those two guys did it, but you just felt this was Richard Johnson's year and well deserved.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations then to both Richard Johnson and Paul Nicholls. We mustn't forget about the horses. Sprinter Sacra winning the Celebration Chase. He's won four times this season and beat Undersow again, confirming the form of Cheltenham. And I know Undersow made a bit of a blunder three out, but the way Sprinter Sacra finished didn't look as though he fancied being caught.
No, well, he himself made a blunder as well at the pond fence, which you sense that the way Undersow and Sy de Grugy almost, they took each other on a little bit. But I think that was both because they felt that their horses were, Sy de Grugy definitely is suited to Sandown, has gone very, very well there before. And they were both probably soft ground horses. So they maybe tried to draw the sting out of Sprinter Sacra, but on good ground, you know, two horses trying to do that, going half a stride too quick, even though Undersow is a very, very quick horse himself, on good ground and upsides rivals, he didn't seem to jump with the same fluency that he has done when he's allowed a free lead on softish ground. So he always felt that Sprinter Sacra was keeping tabs on them pretty easily. And then when Nico de Boinville asked him to sort of come upsides by the pond fence, that was the moment where he thought, this is it, he's going to clear away. And he clattered it, absolutely clattered it, but then seemed to land running and was five lengths clear within a couple of strides. And it was extraordinary that he was obviously that far within his comfort zone against those two horses on good ground, that the mistake he made, whatever it knocked him back, it knocked Undersow much further back, because he would, you know, he has been taken on for the lead and going half a stride perhaps too quick. So then obviously Sprinter Sacra in rude health, back to not far off the best of what he was, you'd have to say, on the evidence of the last two performances, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. And a word as well for the young master who took the Bet365 Gold Cup, the last big handicap chase of the season, under Sam Whaley-Cohen. Yeah. He's a master, a pretty impressive CV for an amateur jockey.
Yeah, I mean, he's an amazing individual. He's probably, in various circles, he's probably quite derided, really, by some, because he's obviously born into quite a... fortunate situation in terms of the family that he's in and the opportunities he's had, but equally you get the impression that he is incredibly driven as well. I mean, he has his dentist business on the side, which he spends, you know, all hours that God sends working on, and then he also obviously has to fit in around that, making sure that when rides do come up, he's ready to take them. And there's probably isn't a jockey around that has a better record over the big fences at Aintree, which is extraordinary. I mean, the number of winners he's ridden around there and the number of sort of good rides he's given placed horses is second to none. And then obviously, to his credit, he's come the big day. I mean, he proved it with Long Run on a number of occasions as well, that he was well up to the pressure and the scrutiny. And yesterday was just another day, really, where he seems to have one ride every three or four weeks, but then seems to be able to you know, ride a race to a T, really. You've got to have the horses, of course, but I think jockeyship in those races is even more important than it would be, say, in a lowly novice hurdle somewhere. So, yeah, all credit to him.
No, absolutely. Congratulations to Sam Whaley-Cohen. And as we say there, the young master taking the last big handicap chase of the season. We're going to look ahead now to some of Monday's racing. We've got four flat races to come on the podcast, and we begin on Chelmsford City's Polytrack. This is their 330, a handicap here over a mile. We've got seven runners down for this class four. Good prize money on offer, as we've come to expect from Chelmsford. Who caught the eye here?
There was a couple that I took interest in. Taper Tantrum was one for Michael Bell, who had a run here at the course just over a month ago, over two furlongs further than this, and looked shaped through that race as if the drop to a mile would potentially suit. Now, that it's just a little bit of a worry that the two times he has tried an all-weather surface, he probably hasn't quite run to a similar level of form that he did do on turf in the back end of 2015. So while he went through that race as if he handled the surface, and he was sent off 9-4 as well on his seasonal reappearance for Michael Bell, he was one that, as I say, I had on the shortlist, but probably just for that reason, the fact that there's a slight doubt about the surface knocked him off it. The other one is the filly down the bottom, Italian Beauty, for Brian Ellison, who had her first run for Brian Ellison, having joined from Timothy Jarvis just under a month ago as well at Redcar on heavy ground. Now, she'd won at heavy ground previous to that, but she'd also run up to form, or a similar level of form, on good ground. She won the race after winning at Newbury in September of last year at Epsom over a similar kind of trip on goodish ground. Now, she's had a couple of stabs on the all-weather back in her two-year-old season, and she showed up well enough to suggest that she could run to form on that kind of surface as well as on turf. And actually, if you look at her breeding as well, it's a US-bred pedigree, certainly. And Asaya, The Way You Are, has a very, very good record with his runners on all-weather surfaces. So there's every reason to expect she might even be a little bit better. And the fact that she showed up so well at Redcar on that heavy ground behind Bahama Moon and Treasury Notes. Treasury Notes, of course, won yesterday at Ripon. So she's the one for me, granted a little bit of improvement that Brian Ellison generally manages to eke out.
Okay, Italian Beauty then, the choice of Will in the 330 at Chelmsford for Brian Ellison and Callum Shepherd. We go to Ayr now for their 350. This is a handicap over seven furlongs. We've got seven runners down for this Class 4 event again. So a similar look to the first race. What do you fancy in this one?
It's all about Mount Tahan for me here for Kevin Ryan and Keegan Latham. On the face of it, the race looks fairly competitive, but you can pick quite a few holes in most of the others. Some of them are coming into it making their seasonal appearances, and with a few of them as well, they're coming back over inadequate distances or sets of conditions, really, probably in an attempt to sort of gradually scale back down the handicap from where they once were. The likes of Alexandra Kollontai, Funding Deficit, Seawolf, Gorn, they're probably all horses that are better at slightly different distances on slightly different ground, and you sense that these might be exercises where they have a couple of runs. And obviously horses are, you know, generally naturally get fitter with each run anyway. Yeah. So once they get to a point, they're going to be ready to win, and at that point their handicap mark will have dropped down a couple of runs. Whereas with Mount Tahan, you get the impression, certainly on the back end of his three-year-old season last year for Kevin Ryan, that there was much, much more to come off a mark in the mid-80s. He won at Newmarket, having made all off a mark of 82. And then he went to York a couple of times and flopped in probably slightly better races. But he's had three races at York now and performed poorly on each of those three occasions. So I think you can forgive that. Mark Johnson had a touch of that, didn't he, a couple of years ago, where seemingly every runner he took to York underperformed. Mm. And it seems to be one of those tracks where you can just throw in the odd stinker there and then, you know, run a week later on a different track and it seems to be fine. So the fact that he signed off with a good third in an Ascot three-year-old handicap there behind Flying Hammer of William Haggis's, that was a good race. He won first time up in a maiden last season as well, so there's every reason to think that he should be well forward. And I expect him to take this before going on to contesting perhaps some better races down at Ascot in the future.
Okay, Mount Tahan is the choice then in the 350. We go to Windsor now to take in a couple of races there. We begin with their 7 o'clock, which is a mile and a quarter handicap. 11 runners down for this class four. What do you like in the lineup?
Yeah, interesting race, because a few of these come into this having run on the all-weather, so they'll be fit from those all-weather spins, but it doesn't always translate, because I think trainers invariably try and strike while the iron's hot, as it were, and then hope that some of the turf horses coming out are not quite at peak fitness. But I think there's one horse in here that loves Windsor, is quite well drawn, and has a benefit of a run 7 days ago at Windsor where he showed up well for a fair way, and I think he'll come on for that. A horse called Star Watch, right at the top of the handicap. He loves it here, as I said. He's won here on three other separate occasions. The ground at declaration time was soft. Now, I think the forecast is for dryish weather, so it might dry out a little bit. He handles soft very well, so hopefully it doesn't dry out too much, because if it did, then it might bring into play some of the all-weather horses who probably don't want it soft. But if it stayed good to soft, that would be fine for me. And he'll probably be overpriced as a result, because there's a few horses in here that come from sort of bigger stables that have been... They're either appearing off the back of a break or they've been on the all-weather. And I think that John Bridges' Star Watch could be overlooked.
Okay, Star Watch then is the pick for Will in that Windsor 7 o'clock. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the Windsor 7:30. A handicap here over a mile and three this time. 11 runners go to post. What did you like?
Yeah, I like a horse who's having his first start for a new trainer, actually. And it's one that regular William Hill listeners will know as a horse that was with one of our very own, Forced Family Fun, who was obviously with John Quinn, and John Quinn did very well dual purpose wise with this horse, took him down to Cheltenham and won a couple of flat handicaps, and he always got the impression there was a little bit more to come. Now he's joined George Baker, who is a very, very good trainer. You know, in terms of whether he'll be able to improve the horse coming from John Quinn's, not really sure, but maybe just a change of scenery might just freshen him up. And a flat mark of 79, given he was pretty competitive off marks in the 130s over hurdles, and there's every reason to think that he could well be a better flat horse than he has shown. And I think the trip will be good for him. He shows a fair amount of pace, and any cut in the ground as well will be fine for him, and will probably inconvenience a few others. So I'm hoping that George Baker will work his magic first time up, which is something he's done with a couple of horses already in the last week or two, where he's had them win off the back of a break. So that gave me confidence that Forced Family Fun will be fit enough and ready to go in a race that seems to suit him quite well.
Okay, Forced Family Fun then is the choice of Will in the 7:30. Just give us a quick recap then, a reminder to those four horses for the action on Monday.
Yeah, so at Chelmsford, the 3:30, I've gone for Italian Beauty, which is Brian Ellison's filly. In the Air 3:50, I've gone for Mount Tahan. Kevin Ryan's won at the top of the weights. And then in the Windsor 7 o'clock, which is the handicap over a mile and two, I've gone for John Bridges Star Watch. And then in the Windsor 7:30, I've gone for Forced Family Fun for George Baker, having his first run for him.
Thank you very much. My thanks to Will Smith. And enjoy the action and best of luck on Monday.
Cheers.
And remember, you can tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. on Monday, where Natalie Carey and Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimnott will have all of the action covered. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.